welcome back to the show. Evan Bray, good to have you here. It is a Tuesday morning, and we're kind of moving into a topic here that I would say dovetails nicely after the chat we just had with Brian McQuinn. Social media, of course, is a part of daily life, especially for young people, but we have talked about this on the show a lot. As it continues to grow, social media companies become smarter. Algorithms are perfectly curated to keep you, your children, anyone who uses them, locked in. Maybe it's time we take a step back and reevaluate. You remember we had the professor from a university over in Australia on our program about a week ago talking about how has it gone over there? Because they've done the social media ban for youth under the age of 16, something that we are hearing the federal government here in Canada are going to be proposing formally tomorrow, bringing out what that legislation might look like. So this is where we have the opportunity to hear from organizations and youth. Remember, we did the youth panel one day. Advocates, people that work in this space. And my next guest is exactly that. Laura Lawrence actually called into the show when we had the open lines after the professor from Australia. Laura is the CEO of Youth Matter Canada. She's a mental health advocate. She's a philanthropist. She's a best-selling author, award-winning entrepreneur. And I'm happy to say Laura Lawrence is joining me in studio. Laura, thank you for being here.
Good morning, Evan. Thanks for having me.
You're fresh out of a meeting with the Saskatchewan government on the notion of social media and a youth ban, correct?
Yeah, just came from the legislative building, actually.
What was that? How did that meeting go? What were you talking to them about there?
So I was just sharing again some of the work that we do with Youth Matter here in Saskatchewan, just supporting youth in many aspects of their mental health. But most recently in the last few years, the Look Up initiative that we've started with online harms prevention and just education and awareness to youth, families and communities about what's really happening behind the screens of our children. Mm-hmm. So I think that we're hearing about this now. There's been legislation happening all over the world in different countries, legislating these harmful spaces as they should. We're seeing that Canada is moving in that direction. And what I want to bring to the table is the other notion to this. We can talk about legislation, we can talk about enforcement, but we need to talk about education and awareness that leads to prevention of these online harms. And also, how do we keep our minds healthy in these worlds where we're psychologically tethered to our devices 8 hours a day?
Laura, you've been doing this work now for quite a while. You're a school teacher to begin with, am I right?
Yes, yeah.
And so tell me how you got into the work you're doing now and a bit about the mandate of Youth Matter Canada.
Yeah, for sure. So I was a high school classroom teacher for 15 years. And when I transitioned out of that, I still wanted to do the educational piece. I love educating. I love speaking. And so then I moved into the entrepreneurial journey of still speaking for a living, which took me back into schools talking about mental health related topics. How do we build mental health toolkits and safety plans? How do we destigmatize? And in 2019, I had an idea alongside a couple of advocates who are good friends of mine to start Youth Matter Canada, which is basically a nonprofit organization founded here in Saskatchewan. We're based out of Melfort, and we have multiple different initiatives that help support youth in their developing lifelong wellness and mental wellness.
So I'm guessing a big part of the work you do is the responsible use of social media, internet platforms, things like that. Is a lot of this from what you saw, what you experienced as a classroom teacher?
Interesting, because when I left the classroom in 2012, it was a very different landscape when it comes to tech in classrooms and schools than it is now. Very different conversation. I did not have the struggles and battles, but I am a mother of four, and I have two older children, and I have seen firsthand, we had our own experience as a family of a serious online harm happened to one of our children, the kind of online harm that some kids don't live through.
Is that right?
And because of that, you take a deep dive. And I did so a couple of years ago and was shocked, really shocked at what I found. And then that led me back into developing presentations to go back into classrooms. And actually came from my child's suggestion. Listen, Mom, you need to talk about this.
Is that right?
Because if this happened to me, it's happening to every kid.
So when you say you're shocked what you found, Laura, like give us an understanding. You did a deep dive. What did you find that shocked you?
Oh my gosh. The frequency and the predatory nature of the spaces. I knew kids would be exposed to harmful content. I did not know to the extent at which the violence, the explicit R-rated content, the number of predators online. And in my presentations in the last couple of years, I've had youth as young as 7 years old stand up and share an online harm that happened in spaces even like Roblox and YouTube. And some of these harms aren't just happening at home on their devices. They're also happening on school-approved devices during school time, unbeknownst to the teachers or the school divisions, because these spaces are not safe by design. They are not safe by design, and there are no guardrails.
So how much of this, because, you know, this tends to be where this conversation goes. There are people, and I'm going to be the first to freely admit, I was one of them saying, I don't need government parenting my children. I can parent them. But I've had my mind changed by a number of parents who said, look, Evan, I have a child who's 15 years old. I can enforce rules here. But if none of my friend or my child's friends' parents enforce the rules the same way, it makes it very tough. So what I'm hearing from a lot of parents is, while they take the role of parenting seriously, it would be helpful to have the backstop of an actual mandated ban on social media so that everybody's playing from the same level playing field. Does that make sense?
It does. And I would suggest that we maybe play with that language of ban, because ban fires people up. When we look at other harmful products that are accessible to children, you know, like drugs, alcohol, tobacco, vaping, gambling, that's all legislated. It's all regulated, right?
Right. So it's not banned. It's restricted.
It's not banned. It's restricted. Right. It's restricted. And does that mean our children can still access those spaces or those products? Yes. But they are restricted because they're harmful. They're harmful to the developmental, cognitive, emotional, developmental aspects of the developing brains of children, right? So we have a duty of care as government and stakeholders to, A, ensure these spaces are safe. And I will tell you this, Evan, from my deep dive in the last couple of years, these tech companies have no business in, they have no interest in making these spaces safe, because that costs them money. And then it limits the number of users that are online.
I was going to say, it reduces the number of content viewers that they have.
I mean, just a little taste for your listeners here. I mean, internal documents from Meta will reveal things that I'm about to say here, where whistleblowers have said that, you know, that platform has knowingly and intentionally harmed children, or recommended the profiles of minors to adult men. It is not, it's no longer a secret of what's going on. And so now the question is, what do we do about it? So again, as I said at the beginning, we look at enforcement and legislation, but families, most families don't know what's really going on.
Right.
So when their kids are in their rooms on their iPads or by themselves or scrolling 6 hours a day, they don't understand that the addictive design and the nature of the algorithm is incredibly harmful for the developing brain of a child.
We're chatting today with Laura Lawrence, who is the CEO of Youth Matter Canada, has done presentations on this throughout Canada and beyond. Or is, have all of your presentations been in Canada?
Most of the online presentations have been in Saskatchewan, but my keynote speaking takes me across
Canada. I was going to say, I was online and I've seen you everywhere in the country. It's you know, this has got to be the most challenging time in this, whatever this continuum is going to look like, because the cat's out of the bag now, so to speak, right? So what we're trying to do is we're trying to roll back rules on something right now that youth have full and free access to. So there's going to be the most challenging conversations right now.
There is. And when you talk to youth, I was just at a school again last week, and you come at it from an empowerment, you know, an empowerment lens of, this is your time and your attention. And these people who are curating these highly addictive spaces and marketing these dopamine casinos to you and all of their platforms, they're not giving their own children access to these devices or platform. What does that tell you?
Right.
And what kind of childhood do you want to have? And what's really interesting, Evan, is when I asked them, if you were my age and you had four children, would you give your children access to social media? And without fail and without hesitation, 98% of the kids say no.
Yeah, it's interesting. I did a little youth panel one day. It was during one of the school breaks. So they were off. We had three youth in here, two, I think they were 15, 15, and 14, two females, one male. One of the young leaders. She has never had social media. Mm-hmm. Her parents have told her no. She's got friends that have it, so she kind of understands the concept, but has never had it. The other two do. And we talked about it, and I was quite surprised. Maybe the young fella that I had in studio was the most resistant to a ban, but I think without fail, they all said there needs to be better rules. There needs to be better guidelines. So these are the kids themselves that will be affected by this. So what you're saying, not a surprise, given kind of what we're hearing regularly.
No, and we surveyed hundreds of youth through Youth Matter and asked them what were their thoughts. And 91% of kids who answered our survey said tech companies do not do enough to keep them safe and expose them to harmful content and predators. They also indicated that it affects their mental health. And shockingly, and this is one for the listeners, parents, grandparents, I mean, the single thing that you can do today after listening to today's show to help improve the safety and well-being of your child or grandchild is urge them or make a rule in your home not to have that device in the bedroom at night.
I've heard that so often from experts like yourself. You're good to stick around till the bottom of the hour?
Absolutely.
Okay, good, because I've got a few more things I want to talk with you about. Laura Lawrence is our guest. She is the CEO of Youth Matter Canada. We're talking about this potential ban that it sounds like the federal government will be announcing tomorrow, banning youth from using social media for youth under the age of 16, following suit of what we see in Australia and a few other countries that are doing it. And even right here within Canada, we've already seen one province step out in front, say that they are doing it. So we'll talk more about the nuanced look as to what rules need to be in place, what are some of the challenges as we roll this out, and what education needs to look like when we come back with Laura here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the show. If you're just joining us, Laura Lawrence is here. Laura is the CEO of Youth Matter Canada, who is one time a school teacher, now does this work full time and making, I'm going to say, a significant difference in the health and wellness of youth across our province, across Canada. And for that, if I haven't said it already, thank you for what you're doing, Laura, because this is such important work that we don't have enough people in this space doing this work to try and help educate, I think, not just youth, but parents and communities about the online harms that exist.
Thank you so much. And that's why I'm grateful for this segment and the opportunity to share some of the experiences.
We mentioned the interview that we did with the professor from Australia and their rollout of this. One thing that was really shocking to me is how the youth in Australia, who are being, of course, banned or restricted from using social media, have to prove whether they're of age or not. It basically is them taking selfies of themselves or providing some sort of additional documentation, including who their friends are, recent conversations, the type of language they use in their communication. AI is analyzing all of this to determine whether or not they are of age. That in and of itself seems so concerning to me.
Yeah, pretty counterintuitive, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a parent. I don't want AI doing facial recognition for my child. So there are so many nuances to this conversation of how do we do this right? When we step into these conversations about legislating these platforms and age verification, 100%, I agree with you fullheartedly.
So how do we attack the education of this? Like, you are doing this, but you're not, like, you're not government funded, are you? How is this
not
done?
Yet, Evan?
Okay, well, we can work on that. But I feel like that's an important part of this is the education piece. Yes, there's a role for parents to play, but there's lots of room for professionals to play a role in that as well.
Yeah, and that's a big part of the advocacy work we do with Youth Matters, having conversations with key people about the importance of what is our vision? What are our goals? How is this going to improve the lives of Saskatchewan families? And of course, to your point, when we look at these types of campaigns and these initiatives where we're educating masses of people, money's important. Mm-hmm. And we're really grateful to date for our funders, the Community Initiatives Fund, and some of our private sponsors and funders. But 100%, our goal is to continue to be able to build this capacity so that we can, and I said to you before, this isn't just about saving or changing children's lives. It's about saving them.
Sure.
And it's really about what kind of future, what kind of, I say to the kids when I talk to them, what kind of brain do you want to operate off of for the rest of your life? Because every choice you make now and the 8 hours a day you're spending in front of your digital device is coming at a cost.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not know that cost until way down the road.
Much like we may not be able to measure the impact of a restriction of social media mm-hmm. for a generation, right? It may be that, and we're trying to undo where we're at right now. I wonder about what you hear when you do these presentations, and you have to be approached by people, whether it's parents or children, youth, after the fact. What type of feedback are you getting on your messaging?
The feedback is really what drives the mission and drives the advocacy. It's heartbreaking. It's nauseating. It's gutting when you hear, you know, students as young as 7 years old talk about grave online harms that have happened to them. When you hear from grandparents who've been, you know, fraudulently exploited through AI cloning of voice, when you hear from parents who are trying to deal with these major online harms or the addictions, the mm-hmm. how do we take the phones away? But the stories from the children, without doubt, every time after I'm done speaking in a school, it's really what drives my voice to continue to do this.
You know, I can't help but think that parents that listen to your message, hear you speak, also get a little bit of good from it. Like at this,
yeah.
we talk about the youth, but come on, let's be honest. All of us as adults, and I'm going to put myself in there. I think we just have to understand the impact that this can and does have on our lives.
Yeah, we're the product.
Sure.
We are the product. If it's free, we're the product. And when I speak about this in organizations, I talk about two things. Number one, we need to be more intentional about our use with tech, because we have been psychologically tethered to these spaces. And this is by design. This is the way they wanted it. This is how they make their billions, let's be honest. And secondly, how do we keep ourselves safe, you know, emotionally, mentally, physically, when we're in these spaces, especially when we're talking about youth.
We're chatting today with CEO of Youth Matter Canada, Laura Lawrence. If you want to know more about what they do, youthmatter.ca is the website. I was just on there yesterday. It's a great website. You have your own website, lauralawrence.ca as well. What is the parting message? We have about a minute left. Something that you think is important for people in Saskatchewan to hear about this, and maybe the steps forward where we're headed.
Yeah, listen, we're all in this together. And I think we all have a common goal, which is, raising children with love and care and attention. And with that comes a responsibility of noticing what's going on. And we can't look away anymore. The elephant's in the room and we've been avoiding it. And that means we need to be having conversations at levels, you know, education levels, schools, government. We need to be supporting one another in our community groups of, you know, how can we work together to really protect our children's childhoods?
Here's what I'm going to suggest, because we are at the end of our segment, but I'd love to have you come back, because what we didn't get to today was the idea of chatbots,
yeah.
Because chatbots, we're hearing, might not be included as part of whatever this ban looks like tomorrow. And you've got some thoughts that absolutely is a topic that is part of the harms that we're seeing.